on today's Keys for Kids Connect podcast.
Schools are the battlegrounds of our nation. I would say probably 99% of all the parents that we've ever had any interaction with the kids love it.
Kids, their imagination and the way they are made, they need stories. And sure, they get Bible stories, but when they read the devotionals, the real life stories, and they can relate to them.
There's nothing that you can do to earn your salvation. You can't say a special prayer. You can't be all these things that are good. You can't dress a certain way. All this and more on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. I'm Greg Yoder. Welcome to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast, a podcast for donors and friends of Keys for Kids Ministries. It's a way for us to keep you informed about what's happening behind the scenes here at Keys for Kids. We'll tell you about ministry updates, projects, and how donors and friends like you are using our resources to bring kids, teens, and families to Jesus. On today's podcast, I got a chance to speak with Mission Network News about three things all Christian parents wish their kids knew. Now, they asked me, so it's my opinion, but Katie Harth did the interview. I got a chance to interview Ina Sienkiewicz with Mission Eurasia about the desperate need for our devotionals in war-torn Ukraine. And our public school ministry partnership with the Three Heath Brothers is under attack by atheists. All this and more coming up on the October edition of the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. The Bible teaches us that Christians will face tough times, especially when it comes to sharing our faith in a secular world. Keys for Kids Ministries is partnering with Christian singing group The Three Heath Brothers to provide our devotionals to kids and teens in public schools. However, that ministry is under attack by an atheist group. I spoke with Jonathan Heath about the most recent attack.
Jonathan, you are the father of The Three Heath Brothers, but also the manager of the Three Heath Brothers. Welcome to the podcast. We appreciate you being with us.
Hey, thank you, Greg. It's great to be a part of this, and we're always grateful for the connection between Three Heath Brothers and Keys for Kids. So it's awesome.
Well, and I just want to explain that a little bit too. I mean, we've been partnering for what, 2 or 3 years now? Our business manager actually met Nicholas while you guys were getting ready for your Christmas project. He was actually the producer of the orchestration with that, with David T. Clydesdale. And that's how we kind of got connected. And we've been kind of partnering ever since. And we're so thrilled about the partnership. But we just got word late last week that you guys have made the news. could you describe that? What's happened? It looks like the Freedom From Religion Foundation is a little upset with you.
Yeah. So I have a stack of letters on my desk right now from an incident that happened a couple of months ago in Davidson County, North Carolina. And I got a letter from the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and I can't remember, there's a couple of others. They are cease and desist letters, basically. And it happened again in the last 2 weeks. We were in schools in Kentucky. And just to give you a little background, we do these tours into public schools and some Christian schools as well. So I'll pull up my records here from the last 2 weeks. We just got back from a 2-week tour, and we did 12 school programs in those 2 weeks. And we sang to over 4,700 kids and basically presented the gospel through music. We don't pray, and we don't do, you know, altar calls or anything like that, but we do just give those kids hope. And so that's pretty powerful ministry. And there was one parent in a Kentucky school, and I don't even know right off the bat which school it was or which program it was. This was probably the last day of September, September 30th. And they complained and turned us in, so to speak, tried to drum up, you know, all this hoopla about it. And then an article is written because these organizations, they submit it to the news media. And that's how it all happened. So we actually had a big high school we were going into last week for the first time that canceled on us because it was in the same county as this complaint. So that's kind of what's been happening recently. So,
well, it sounds like this is something that I would say is somewhat common for Christians who are wanting to do ministry within public schools. But this is kind of a first for you, at least the last, I would say, what, year or so.
That's
Is
right.
this discouraging to you? I mean, how are the guys responding to this?
Well, Jesus said that you're going to be hated or despised for my sake. And so it's to be expected, but on a personal level, yeah. I mean, when you're going into these schools for free of charge, and usually we do two schools in a day. So we do a setup in the morning and then we sing and then tear down and go to another school, set up, tear down. It's a lot of work. And but we're doing it for the Lord, and we're doing it to give these kids hope. And so yeah, something like this kind of hits you broadside a little bit, and you're like, oh, well, we're supposed to stop. But the truth is, it just means that we're making a difference, and the devil doesn't like it. So that's
Well, I
kind of what's
know
happening.
that, yeah, we were obviously a part of the conversation a little bit when it happened in North Carolina, and I'm kind of curious what happened in Kentucky. It seems as though they're following the same kind of modus operandi, if you will, that they're claiming that you're indoctrinating kids, that you force them to go to this assembly, and that you force them to take our Keys for Kids booklets in these schools.
So the Keys for Kids booklets, we have the Keys for Kids and then the Unlocked booklets for the teenagers. We tell them in the program, and then we announce it afterwards that they're there. They can take them home if they want to, show them to their parents. Like, we're very upfront about the whole thing. But if they don't want them, they don't have to take them. So out of the, well, I'll just give you some numbers. In the last 2 weeks, we've done over 4,700 kids. And we've distributed, well, let me add on a week that we did in September. So that's over 6,000 kids. And we distributed 4,700 Keys for Kids and Unlocked programs. So, and that's a guesstimate as best we can do. So there's kids that don't take it, that don't take the Keys for Kids home. And that's their right. They don't have to. But here's what we do when we set up. We just tell the principal or whatever, hey, this is a Christian group, and we're going to sing a lot of fun songs. We're going to talk about bullying in the middle of this program and just encourage these kids. And we talk about Jesus, but it's not oppressive. It's not indoctrination, in our minds. It's just mainly to give these kids hope. And so after the program, the boys hang out and take pictures and all the things that they do, and the Keys for Kids are there available. So I guess, we take for granted that some of this stuff is okay in a Christian nation, but the schools are the battlegrounds of our nation. And I would say probably 99% of all the parents that we've ever had any interaction with the kids love it. And we get letters and emails and stuff saying, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And then there's one complaint, and we just shut it down for everybody, it seems like. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's kind of where we're at.
It does, and I'm sure that there are schools that invite you in, and all of the schools really invite you in. Is that correct? I mean, this is not like underhanded. You're not like going in and saying, "Well, we're not really Christian, but we're going to go in and we're going to proclaim truth through
No, we
doctrine."
make
That's
sure
not.
they know. No, we make sure they know who we are before we go in. Yes.
Yeah, and so it's in terms of indoctrination. I mean, it's very much you don't pray. I wouldn't say you probably don't talk about the gospel necessarily while they're speaking, but there's lots of great stuff in your music.
That's correct. That's correct. And the other thing is, we're trying to point these kids to the YouTube channel or the website for Three Heath Brothers, because there's a lot of content on there, a lot of fun music videos. We talk about that. But the more they can get the music into their minds, the more they realize our heart. We're trying to point people to Jesus. That's our hope. And honestly, you talk about suicide. People talk about suicide in the public schools, teenagers and even kids, and all of these depression and struggles. The answer isn't to throw money at it. The answer isn't some other program, out of the heart of whoever. The answer is Jesus, really. And the majority of these principals and teachers, they are just grateful. In fact, the school resource officers come up to us and they say, thank you for coming. Whenever a program like this comes, it makes my job a whole lot easier as the officer, you know, at that that public school.
You're listening to Jonathan Heath, the dad and manager of the three Heath brothers, on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. By the way, the three Heath brothers and Keys for Kids Ministries are taking the hope of Jesus into public schools, and kids are responding, but now the ministry is under fire, as you've heard. We're not backing down either. Each school program costs $3,000, and there are more than 100 schools asking us to come. That's 100 opportunities to share Christ's love with thousands of kids who may never otherwise hear. Help us give them hope. Give your best gift today at keysforkids.org/schools. That's keysforkids.org/schools.
Well, I was just kind of reading the press release that was sent out and that I got a hold of. Here's a quote from it. It says, the 100-page pamphlet, which is Keys for Kids and Unlocked, explicitly religious stories with references to Bible verses, promotion of a religious podcast, and solicitation of donations. Then it says, for example, the booklet tells students, lots of kids don't know that they need to be saved from sin, and instructs that such kids need someone to tell them, and Jesus may want to be that person. And the news release said, of course, it goes on to talk about the Freedom From Religion Foundation reporting that this parent for their child said that they were told the storybook was a storybook and not a religious indoctrination book. I'm kind of putting words in their mouth. But you guys are very clear about what these are you not?
Yeah, we actually describe it as we have a book, a Three Heath Brothers booklet, and we tell them we partner with Keys for Kids, and we say this is a daily reading. You can take one if you want to. You don't have to. And then we tell them that there's a QR code on the back. Ask your parents. You can sign up, and we'll send one to you every 3 months. I haven't even asked you the numbers. Every time we do a school tour, I'm sure there are kids that are signing up for Keys for Kids. Do you have any idea how many or whatever?
I don't know all the numbers, but there are lots of kids that sign up. We have, obviously we send you a number of the books to send out, and then we send another number of them here so that we can fulfill some of those for the people that come in. So yeah, it's a large number, hundreds for sure.
And so Keys for Kids is going into those homes months later after we've already had the program. It's just amazing how God's opened the doors.
Well, let me just ask you this. I know that you have a lot of things going on throughout the rest of the year. How many schools do you already have lined up? How many more do you anticipate? And how can we pray for the guys?
So we try to do 25 schools in the fall and 25 schools in the spring. That's in the midst of all of our other traveling. So we have another week of schools, and a lot of these are high schools that are coming up in a couple of weeks. I think it's in 3 weeks. So yes, I would love to have you pray about that. For the high schools, we set up a big video wall and try to connect with those kids even deeper than even just the elementary school. So we've done over 215 school programs over the last number of years. And if people would pray for protection, and if they would pray, you know, as we travel our bus and all of our crew, we have to take a crew with us now to do all the work. If they would pray a hedge of protection around that would be wonderful. And then pray that there would be openness with the school administrators, school principals. A lot of school leaders, administrators, principals are nervous because they're afraid for their job. They're afraid they'll get one complaint from a parent, and then they'll go to the school board, and they'll lose their job. Just pray for boldness for Christians in that arena, the arena of public education, and pray that God would open doors. We have more opportunities now for public school ministry than we've ever had before, and pray that the Lord will help us to be able to get to all those open doors of ministry.
And do you think, Jonathan, obviously with the death of Charlie Kirk and bringing sharing the gospel, obviously in a public school setting or even in the marketplace of ideas, it has really resonated, especially among high school students. Do you think that that's having an impact on just the, I wouldn't say popularity, but at least the interest in Christian things?
I think so. You know, we've partnered with Fellowship of Christian Athletes in the past as well. They're a great organization. And Turning Point is too. I think it's great. Anytime any of those organizations can have opportunities to connect with kids. What we do is a little bit different in that we're an assembly program. So for the high schoolers, they have an option. They can even come to the program or they can sit in their home room and do homework. We were in a high school recently of 900 kids, actually a little bit more than 900, and almost all of them, I think it was 875 or something like that, came to the program. So there's options there. I think that the Generation Z, the younger generation, I think they're open. I think it's the older ones who are squelching this whole thing. They're looking for answers. They're looking for hope. And the kids love it. And I pray that God continues to open the doors.
Well, I share that. In fact, we're hearing it all the time that we're having more and more young people that are searching for truth. I love the statistic that 80% of kids 4 to 14 are looking for some kind of spiritual truth. And we've been talking about that for years since I've been here. And obviously, when you see these young men, your sons out not just singing, but openly sharing a gospel message through their music and even in their concerts, at their concerts, it's amazing to me the response that they get. And some of these kids are, we see them come back concert after concert after concert here in Michigan.
Right. I have one more thing you can help us pray about. So we do all these school shows, and then we try to invite them to programs, concerts at night or in the area. So on November the 22nd, that's a Saturday night, we're doing a show in Hazard, Kentucky. It's a Christmas show at the Forum. It's a big theater in Hazard. But what we're doing is we're handing out cards. We put them in the Keys for Kids booklets that invites those kids to come to that concert because we will give them the full gospel message at that concert. And there will be an invitation period of time at the end of that concert. I think we had 27 kids give their heart and life to the Lord last year at that Hazard show. And we had dozens of schools represented that we had been to. So we're trying to be a light in the school and then invite them to another venue where we can give them even more details. And please pray about that. That would be very, very helpful.
One other thing I'd like people to pray about as well. We're going to be obviously having the Three Heath Brothers at a Christmas concert coming up December the 18th. And that is going to be a fundraising opportunity for us to invest in the Three Heath Brothers to supply funding for this public school outreach. And so if you are in the West Michigan area or Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, even Illinois, and you want to help Keys for Kids Ministries, but more importantly, help the Three Heath Brothers get into public schools, come to that concert. All the information will be available, obviously, on the Keys for Kids website, but also on the Three Heath Brothers website. So do make an effort
Yes.
to get to that. So that's coming up again, December 18th. That's
And let me thank you for promoting that. And the last time we did it, I think you gave us a check for over 10,000 directly to the public school ministry. And for your listeners who are supporters of Keys for Kids, can I just tell you, you need to keep on supporting. Keys for Kids has not charged our ministry anything for all of these booklets that they've printed. And I don't know. Thousands of that. Now they're coming into our garage at home by the pallet because it takes that many to put on our trailer and head out to schools. So there's a huge expense with that. And so when you're partnering with Keys for Kids, you're literally putting God's word in the hands of thousands of kids who don't pick up a Bible and they don't know anything about God or Keys for Kids or anything like that. So continue. It's a great partnership and thank you for being with us on that. So
Well, we're excited. It's kind of this mutual admiration society. We love you guys, love your sons, and love the work that you guys are doing. And you're a pastor on top of that. So we'll be praying for you, Jonathan, and your
thank
family
you.
and the whole team. So thanks for being a part of the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. And we
Sure.
appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you for your prayers and your partnership. We appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Jonathan Heath, manager and dad of the Three Heath Brothers. By the way, Keys for Kids Ministries will be hosting the Three Heath Brothers for a special Not So Silent Night Christmas concert on Thursday, December 18th at Lifestream Church in Allendale, Michigan. Not only is it a Christmas concert, but we'll be raising funds for the Public School Outreach Partnership. If you'd like to contribute now, just go to keysforkids.org/schools. Next, the war continues in Ukraine. Death, sadness, depression, uncertainty are felt every day. Keys for Kids Ministries partners with Mission Eurasia to provide devotionals in that war-torn region. 600,000 devotionals have been distributed so far, but we're completely out now. Mission Eurasia's Ina Sienkiewicz was in West Michigan for our Keys for Kids celebration dinner. I caught up with her to discuss Ukraine on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. You are a part of Mission Eurasia.
That's right.
Could you just describe what the relationship is with Keys for Kids and Mission Eurasia in your eyes?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me, Greg. This is an honor for me that you would want to talk to me. And so thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And for me, I see it as a great partnership. When you designed and did the Keys for Kids and Unlocked that we use. And I see that in this beautiful partnership, we can use them to spread the gospel and spread all these stories that are very helpful for kids. And we just distribute them. And so I see it as, you know, you are the providers of the materials, and we have the hands, so to speak, in the field that are distributing them to those who need them. God knows who they need to go to, the hands that need to be placed in, and they receive them through different projects, whether it's summer camps or Gift of Hope boxes that we do, or with food distribution that we've done, and just sending other numbers of them to like churches or kids clubs. And so I guess that's the way I would describe.
Let's talk about Ukraine, because last night you and I were talking about the fact that I'm frustrated, and you probably are too, that the lack of exposure, that talking about the Russian, Ukrainian, I want to call it conflict, but it's an invasion. And it's been a frustration for me, because I know that there are fathers and uncles and cousins and brothers and friends that have been lost, thousands.
Yeah.
Can you describe that? And as a Ukrainian, how mm-hmm. I mean, describe that first of all. How is the country feeling?
Mm-hmm. It's very hard. It's a very hard situation. And I personally know people who have been drafted to protect the land from the invasion. And every single family in Ukraine have someone, their relative, whether it's father, brother, and all the closest people, the loved ones, at least someone has been sent to the front lines. Mm-hmm. Many of those have not come back, and so I think probably every family has suffered the pain of loss or the unknown, because there are a lot that are missing, that have gone to fight but have not been back. And so some of them we know that are in captivity, and even just recently, 2 days ago, 128, I think, guys have returned to Ukraine.
Oh, wow.
So there was an exchange of soldiers. Mm-hmm. So that's good news for some families, but some still have some people missing that we don't know anything about, and I don't know if they will ever find out. You know, there are situations. There are those who have lost and will not, they will not be back. And some families have lost, you know, a father and a brother and several family members. So the situation is very hard, and a lot of grief, a lot of pain. But even through that, people have learned to live, have learned to accept it. And we don't want it any other way, in sense that we'd rather send our people to protect our land and win this battle. What I'm trying to say is that we are willing to give our lives to preserve our country, our nation. Mm-hmm. We do not want to be under Russian rule, under Russia, because we've been there. We know what it's like. We see what it's like now.
Yeah.
And we've been free enough to know what freedom is, and we appreciate it. We love it. even freedom for Christianity,
yeah.
you know, the, Russia does not have it.
Right, right.
For different churches to grow, share God's word, even in schools, anywhere, it's very free in our country. And we know that it will not be the same if we were part of Russia, you know, so we do not want that. And that's why we are willing to lay down our lives so that we could preserve yeah. our country.
Let's talk about the kids,
yes.
the little children, the teenagers. I remember Sergey was telling me a story about a little one who wasn't talking and
yes.
sat them down. I believe it was a little girl, maybe a little boy, but they drew pictures of the family and then just started crossing them out, and just the pain of losing mm-hmm. their whole family and the pet.
Yeah.
And I mean, that has to be a common thing
yeah.
in Ukraine right now. Is that what children are dealing with, that just incredible sense of loss or unknown or anxiety or fear or depression or maybe all of that?
Absolutely, yeah, all of that in different ways and different degrees, so to speak. And I hear a lot of stories of children just not talking, just completely stop talking. And so we do have a lot of work for the psychologists,
yeah.
and one of our programs that we do is to equip them with some materials and training to help more kids. And we have these Cope Kid cards for kids to learn to cope with stress. And there are some strategies that they can do, things that they've learned to do to cope with their stress, especially when, you know, air raid sirens, or they see a missile, you know, hit building and everything collapsing in front of their eyes,
yeah. wow.
And horrible things like that. And so I cannot imagine the trauma the little ones are living and not understanding why it's happening. The younger ones don't understand at all. And so I don't know how many years it will take to recover, and maybe it's for the rest of their lives,
yeah.
something that they would have to deal with, I'm guessing.
Well, even mothers having to be the sole caregiver for their kids now, and having to
right.
you know, get them up and down out of bomb shelters
yeah.
and putting them to bed at night, not knowing if there's going to be more attacks. I mean, is it the same with many of the women who are there?
Yeah, I will be honest, and not a lot of people these days go to bomb shelters because it's just, you cannot do that all the time
yeah.
because the air raid sirens, they go off so many times and it's just physically impossible go there and up and down. So some people, or most people, they just try to be a little more careful, maybe go inside the building. But even inside the building, you are not safe
yeah.
because if the missile hits a building, all the floors collapse, you know, and
yeah.
though you are either stuck there or you are dead there, you know. So in a way, people have become, what's the word, careless? They're like, okay, if it happens, it happens.
Oh,
if
callous.
I get, huh?
Callous?
Callous? Maybe callous.
Yeah, maybe callous. Maybe careless or callous. Maybe both.
Yeah, but they don't care as much.
Yeah.
Like, if I die, I die, you know. But I cannot just, you know, stop living, so to speak, and
yeah.
not doing my thing, just living in the bomb shelter.
I'm talking with Ina Sinkevich with Mission Eurasia on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. Right now, kids and teens in Ukraine are facing fear, loss, and uncertainty every day. Keys for Kids Ministries wants to help them find hope in Jesus through His Word. We've received a generous $25,000 gift to write, translate, and print 200,000 Keys for Kids special edition and unlocked devotionals in Ukrainian and Russian, created specifically for youth living through the war. But we can't do it alone. If we can match that $25,000 with your gift, these stories of faith and peace can reach thousands who need them most. Give generously today at keysforkids.org/Ukraine. That's keysforkids.org/Ukraine.
So when Sergey and I were talking this summer, he mentioned that we're completely out of Keys for Kids and Unlocked in Ukraine. And that's correct still,
yes.
correct?
Yes.
I mean, what does that do? I mean, what did we provide Mission Eurasia at the time with those? Because I know obviously you provide Bibles, you guys
right.
print Bibles and other materials, but what hole did we fill?
Kids, you know, they are their imagination and the way they are made, they need stories. And sure, they get Bible stories, but when they read the devotionals, the real life stories, and they can relate to them, and then reflect on them with the questions that are there at the bottom. I feel like it's a great way to connect to their hearts and on different subjects.
Yeah.
As because devotionals, they touch on so many different things. And so I feel like for kids, it's a lot of answers that because Bible stories are more of, you know, Jesus's times or before Jesus' time, but these are real life stories that they can relate to, and then talk to their parents, or like if they read those stories in clubs, right, then they have discussions, they have group discussions or with a teacher, and they talk on those faith, truth, or different, all those topics that they normally might not talk about, but then the stories connect them to that, and then they you know, can grow in that topic that they learn about. They can grow in that area.
Yeah. So, and I would say Ukraine especially is a religious type of country. I mean,
yes.
Orthodox Christianity is
right.
the main
yep.
Religion there,
right.
And so they know about God.
Right.
But they don't necessarily know Jesus personally.
Yes.
So that's got to be a challenge.
Right, exactly. And those stories connect them to on a deeper level. Because you're right, they hear about God. And like this one boy, just one of the stories that that I've heard, a little boy got Keys for Kids devotional. And so he started reading it. And he comes to his grandma and he says, "Hey, grandma, I was reading that God, we can just talk to God." And she was like, "Oh." And he says, "What do you know about God? What can you tell me? What do you know?" And she was like, "Well, God is just up there in heaven. He's big. That's about it." Like, she didn't know anything more to explain to him. So, but she saw the curiosity that he had, and that he really was like, I want to pray. I want to pray." And she was like, while she was like, "Let's get these people who gave you the devotional. Let us talk to let's talk to them and ask them about prayer." So they contacted a Mission Eurasia volunteers who gave them the devotional, and they learned all about prayer, church. He got invited to Sunday school. So like that way, a growth started for him just through reading the story that you can talk to God. And that's called prayer. And so that opened the door to much deeper connection with God.
And I'm only assuming that you've handed out hundreds of thousands of those. So the story, I mean, it's just one story that you know about. I can only imagine that there have to be hundreds of other stories just like it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We hear so many of them. Kids reading a story while in a, like, no internet, no nothing because of the shelling or something. On the infrastructure, you know, because it's hit a bunch of times, reading with a candle, you know, and then discovering something, or other kids in other situations. And you just hear so many of those. You're right. It's little one story, but each one of them is a story.
And then, of course, the teenagers, they deal with things so differently than the little children.
Right.
I think some teenagers think, "Well, I'm strong enough. I can get through this. I'm just going to power through it." And then they get it unlocked and realize that, hey, there's a lot of young people that are going through the same thing, but it might not necessarily be war, but it's something else. Is that an accurate assessment?
Absolutely. Yes, it's a connection to, like you said, to teenagers, the same kind of people, the same age group that them. They see their struggles. They read in stories, which again connects them to the story, and then reflecting on their own and making decisions based on answers that they get from the stories, from the Bible, as they read some of the scripture verses related to that.
Well, a common friend of ours, Pavel, was telling me a story in Moldova that there were some teenagers that didn't want the thing at all. He's just like, I'm too big for that.
Sure.
But then one picked it up and started reading it, and then started pointing it out to their friends, and their friends started picking one up, and then all of a sudden, all five of them are all of a sudden reading it. And it was just, to me, it just struck an amazing chord, like, you know, they're above it, but yet they're not.
Right.
And they realize, hey, wait a minute, this is speaking to me. And I think that's why I love Unlock so much, because it's a resource that young people, in their growing to that next stage of adulthood aren't treated as little kids.
Right.
They're encouraging them to think and to process what it is to have a Savior and what it means to be in a relationship with God, and that He can, you know, carry you through these very difficult moments. Now, I told you last night that we've received a grant for $25,000 to print some more, and we need to match that. So I really wanted you to come on this podcast to talk to our friends, to encourage them to give, because as soon as we can get that extra $25,000 and make it $50,000, we can get this project going, and we need to get it going quickly. So, I mean, you've already done a very good job of expressing the need. And, you know, when you say 600,000 copies have already been handed out, Sergey said that the need, that's just a drop in the bucket. Would you agree? I mean, what is the need?
Well, the need is great as always, and we can fill as much as we have. We can fill this need, and in Ukraine, also in Moldova and Poland, and there are other countries where we have Ukrainian refugee kids. But mostly, we want for Ukraine and for some of those places like Moldova and Poland, because of difficult times, because of everything around them is just so hard and such hard life and so many difficulties, that they would read the stories, get connected to them, learn something new, have peace, because I've heard, you know, children read the stories and how they got peace or learned to pray. And all those stories that you hear, and the more kids you can bless with those stories that would connect them to God, to God's presence, love in their lives, give them eternal values. I think the more the better.
Yeah,
of course.
Well, and our team has been going through some of our past devotions, and even have asked some of our writers to create some new devotions that speak to trouble, to speak to trauma, to speak to situation where it's very difficult. And we're getting the process of getting those stories together, and we're hoping that we're going to get those translated for you guys. And but part of that funding is to help recreate some of those stories into Russian and Ukrainian.
That would be so wonderful.
We're so excited about that.
Yeah.
So I guess in closing, just share a prayer request, maybe three or four prayer requests that we can be praying for Mission Eurasia, about the work that you guys are doing. I know your next generation church leaders, they're an integral part of this whole process. Maybe just describe next generation church leaders briefly before we give us a prayer request. So,
This is a project for young leaders who are good in their professions. So they are professionals, but also they are Christians, deeply devoted Christians. And they learn how to share their faith in their workplaces, and in that way share the gospel, show the good example of good Christians, you know, and in that way connect people to God and to church. And because during Soviet Union times, that was not a thing. Like, there were no Christians in professions, you know, because the churches were like underground or very secret, and people there, usually they were not in professions. Because, like, for example, my parents, my dad wanted to go to university, but he couldn't go because he was a Christian. So he couldn't then learn, you know, some
couldn't get his degree.
Exactly. So he couldn't get his degree and then couldn't get a better job. So he got what he could get. And so many Christians like that, they didn't have those opportunities. So they were not in professions. But now people can go to university, get a really good degree, have really good professions and professional skills, and they can share those with others. And in that way, spread the gospel, spread, you know, God, knowledge about God. And so through that, we are reaching a lot of people, and they are reaching others as well then. those who are in churches, everybody is now able to get more education and stuff, and they are able to learn how to share the gospel and then go into their professions and be an example there.
Right, right.
So you can pray for those. You can pray that God would use them for their colleagues, that they would learn about God through them, through their example. So many things to pray about. but I'm guessing I do want us to pray about the children and teenagers who are receiving Keys for Kids and Unlock devotionals, that God would speak to them in special ways, touch their hearts, comfort their hearts, and that this project would come to fruition.
Yes, we're excited about it. We just are so passionate about young people, not just knowing there's a God who cares for them, but having a relationship with them and wanting to do exactly what these next generation church leaders are doing and multiplying themselves. So we're excited about the work that you're doing. Thank you for being here, Ina. It's good to get to know you, and thanks for being a part of our Keys for Kids Connect podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. What a privilege. So grateful for you and your partnership.
That's Ina Sienkiewicz with Mission Eurasia on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. You can have each dollar you donate to our Ukrainian partnership matched dollar for dollar. Your $100 becomes $200, $500 becomes $1,000. Just go to keysforkids.org/Ukraine to help us meet this match. What are the top three things that you'd like your kids to know as a Christian parent? Well, that's what Mission Network News asked me this month on their radio broadcast. Here's the interview with my friend, Katie Harth.
Today, I've got my friend Greg Yoder on the line from Keys for Kids. And today, we're talking about this article that came across my desk. It says, 11 things therapists wish every kid knew. And Greg, I'd love to talk to you today about three things that Christian parents wish every kid knew. So could you describe some of those things for me?
Well, I thought about a few things. Initially, you asked me three, and I thought, that's a great start. Let's start with those. And then I added two. So the first thing that I think every parent wants their kids to know is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the foundation of life. I mean, that is it. You have to know Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. It's not about being good, but it's about having a relationship with him. And there's nothing that you can do to earn your salvation. You can't say a special prayer. You can't be all these things that are good. You can't dress a certain way. You can't even say a certain thing. It's that it's by grace alone, through faith alone, through Christ alone that we're saved. And so, yes, there are things that we're asked to do, like confess our sins, because he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He also says that if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that we'll have life everlasting. So there are things that we do in response of that call on our lives, but it's very important that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. The second thing is that the Bible is true. And we know it's true because there have been, I can't even tell you how many prophecies, and so far all of them have come true, bar none. And so it's not only a book that is historical, it's a trusted historical book, but it's written by God through man. And we know that it's a pretty historical document because it was written by multiple men, by God breathing in through them. And it was written, I think, in three different continents over, like, I don't know, 1,200 years or something like that. So there was a lot of thought, a lot of people, and yet it didn't vary from the text at all. In fact, different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. So different languages, and they still basically said the same thing. And then I think the third thing is that living for Christ isn't a burden. You know, it's not a rules following thing. Like, you don't put down these rules and you have to follow them, and you know, oh, and it's so burdensome, because it's actually not that at all. Jesus said in John chapter 10 that I have come that I might have life, and that you will have life to the full. And so that is so important. Those are the three top things that I think every Christian, evangelical Christian parent wants their kids to know.
And you had a couple additional ones that you thought of too.
Yeah, the fourth thing, and this is a little bit subtle, parents aren't perfect. Parents aren't perfect. And so, I mean, they are sinner saved by grace, just like you, just like any child is. And we know that there are issues like with kids. But if you're looking for your parents not to be hypocrites and not to do things that they say that you shouldn't do because they're doing them, you're looking to the wrong person. They're not Jesus. We need to look to Jesus for our faith. And what's cool is that you can learn from your parents' mistakes. And so don't blame them for you losing your faith or not having faith or saying that I'm not going to be a Christ follower because of my parents. That would be a horrible thing to do. And then the last thing is that, kids, you're responsible for your own faith. God didn't say that everybody else is going to be responsible for who and what you are. You're responsible. You were born a sinner just like the rest of us, and that we all need a Savior. And the only way that we can be saved is by grace through faith through Christ alone. So don't be blaming parents. Don't be blaming friends. Don't be blaming your situation. We can only blame ourselves for our sin, and we can only look to God because He's the only one that can save.
And one of the things in the article I sent you, one of the things I liked is that the therapist kind of explained why those things are important for kids to know. So the same question, I'll throw the same question at you. With these things that you just described, why is it important for kids to know them?
Well, in order to know Jesus, you have to understand these things. You know, when I look at all of the things that I outlined, these are the essentials of living a godly life. And at Keys for Kids Ministries, we're here to tell people about that, to give tools to parents to help guide them in beginning that discipleship process with their kids. And what we love about Keys for Kids and even Unlocked is that it's something that they can drive, because once a child enjoys a Keys for Kids book and listens to the story, for example, they want to do it over and over again because it's so interactive and they're learning something. And it develops family conversations that you wouldn't otherwise have. With the teens, they're a little different. While they want to have a relationship with their family, generally speaking, they're in their bedroom, right? And they kind of want to be alone. And our devotions are made to help kids that are maybe nominal in their faith, or they're just learning about Christianity, or they're just starting a relationship with Jesus, or they can dive in and read scripture every day and get as much out of a story or a poem or a sci-fi story or whatever that they want to get out of and learn more about Jesus. And so those are the two areas in which we find ourselves, and even parents getting some help from our Parent Minute broadcast. One of the things that we're promoting right now is Harvest Festival. Well, obviously, Halloween's coming up on the 31st of October. We say, let's redeem Halloween and give a Keys for Kids Harvest Fest devotional with the candy. What's amazing is how many kids come by and say, wow, something to read. I had one boy last year. He came to our front door, gave him candy, and I said, hey, oh, by the way, I've got a devotional book there for you. You might want to take that. And he picks it up. He runs to his grandma who's in the road and hands his candy to her. And she says, aren't you going to trick-or-treat anymore? He says, no. This book looks important. And it is, right? It's the life. It's the life that we can have in Jesus Christ. And that little boy, I think, expressed it just an amazing way, that these kids are coming to our door. They're being invited to our door. What are we going to do with many of these kids who are coming to our door? Will we redeem it and give them life through Jesus, through a Keys for Kids devotional or something else that can speak life to them, or candy that will fade away?
How can we be praying for the kids in our lives or other kids as they consider these questions? And then how can we pray for Keys for Kids?
Well, I'll start off with the kids, because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt what happened with Charlie Kirk, that a lot of people are searching, young people especially, I would say teenagers. They want to know what's going on, and they don't have answers. And so we're praying that God would just open doors, that He would provide I would say volunteers or willing believers to be on college campuses or high school campuses, to be kind of a Charlie Kirk or to be a Paul, because that's what Paul did. He went to the marketplace and he talked about the unknown God, right? In some search in that Greek situation. And so we want to make sure that we're doing the same thing as followers of Jesus. So I'm praying twofold, that those that are searching will find someone who can tell them the answers. And then secondly, that we'll be the ones, I say we, that young people who know that are followers of Jesus will be the ones to be able to declare power of the gospel. And it won't be easy. It'll be hard. People will be yelling at you probably. You'll be not loved on campus by some. But yet the impact that you can have on someone's life is utterly amazing. So I would ask prayer for that specifically. And then in terms of Keys for Kids Ministries, just wisdom, because we don't have an endless supply of cash to do the things that are our doors are opening right now. Doors are open wide. We have a public school ministry with the three Heath brothers that could use thousands of dollars because they're being invited into public schools. We've already handed out 20,000 Keys for Kids and Unlocked during our partnership with the three Heath brothers to public school students. And so we want that to continue. So pray that we'll be able to raise the resources to help fund that part of the ministry that we have going on with the three Heath brothers. Thanks, Katie, for thinking of us and allowing us to be a part of the Mission Network News broadcast. You can sign up, by the way, for free Mission News every day. Just go to missionnews.org to sign up. That's missionnews.org to subscribe. Well, I'd like to thank Jonathan Heath with the three Heath brothers, Ina Sienkiewicz with Mission Eurasia, and Katie Harth with Mission Network News for being a part of the October edition of the Keys for Kids Connect podcast, a podcast for donors and friends of Keys for Kids Ministries, highlighting how we're igniting a passion for Christ in kids, teens, and families worldwide. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. I'm Greg Yoder.